the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. Thank God for the opportunity to come your way again this day, listener, as we ask you to turn with us to Hebrews chapter 6, where we've been bringing the word of the Lord to you on the first principles of the oracles of God as contained in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. So please let's read together and receive the blessing of reading His word. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Thank God for giving us the permission to speak the word and to live the word by His grace. Remember, once again, the reason why these foundational truths are important is that we may move on to perfection, we may move on to maturity. We are not safe to sit down and remain the same. We are called to be on a journey towards perfection. Like we shared last week, we come unto Mount Zion, where the spirit of just men are made perfect. We said that Zion is the realm of perfection. And so we see the essence here is this, that God wants to bring His people to realm of perfection, but that will not be possible if the foundation is not clear, is not laid, is not strong. So these first principles of the oracles of God are foundational teaching that we must all know and work in it. And we are dealing today with the issue of eternal judgment. We've been doing that for the past 4 or 5 weeks. We are going to continue today on the issue of eternal judgment. We said last week, for us to understand eternal judgment, we must also understand God's judgment in history. We must also understand His judgment in the now. These are very, very important for us to have a clear understanding. We didn't finish that last week, the aspect of judgment in the now. So I want to read some scripture so we can finish and hang that thought properly somewhere so that we can continue. I'd like to ask you to read with me from Exodus chapter 20, from verse 4 to 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. This scripture is revealing something of God's judgment in the now. Here God is stating clearly to His people His hatred for idolatry. And that's what He says in that verse 4. He wouldn't want His people to make anything, any graven image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven, or a symbol of anything that is in heaven, or anything that's under the earth, or anything that is in under the water, and come to worship it. He said, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, make them your God, and serve them. He said, I am the Lord thy God. I'm Jehovah, or I am Yahweh, thy God, your maker, your creator, Elohim. And I'm a jealous God. I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children and unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So we see here God's hatred for idolatry. God hates idolatry. Listener, God hates idolatry. We must never set anything as a God for ourselves. It could be a thing or a person. It could be a family God or whatever. God wants us to serve Him and serve Him. And He says to us, I am a jealous God. I can't afford to share you with another God. And God is clear about His heart. And so when God sees when a man is worshiping idols, and we don't have to have a shrine today. Idol can be our work, our car, our marriage, anything that is taking the place of God. Anything that takes our devotion, attention, and affection away from God has become idol. Anything that will not allow us to serve God to the full extent that He has asked us to serve Him has become an idol. Anything that comes between us as God, anything that takes away our desire, our love, our affection, our devotion, our attention, has become an idol. And God says, I hate it. I am a jealous God. And then He says, if I see this, I consider it an iniquity. Iniquity is heavier than just sin. Iniquity is stronger than just committing sin. Iniquity becomes a way of life, a propensity that a man goes away in rebellion against God. And iniquity also is something we pass on from one generation to another generation. So God says, I will visit this iniquity. Because the tendency is that when parents worship idol, they pass it down to their own children. It becomes generational iniquity. There are certain sins that become generational iniquity because we do not only do it, but we pass it on from one generation to another generation, another generation. And God says, I hate this. When I see this, I will visit that iniquity upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Because God considered hatred, that is, it amounts to hatred for Him when you refuse to acknowledge Him as the Lord Jehovah and as Elohim, God who created you. And God who comes to save you. We belong to God, or we should belong to God in two ways. We should belong to Him as His creatures, that He created us. He is Elohim. But also we should belong to Him in redemption as our Jehovah. We should belong to Him in those two ways. And when we do not recognize Him in those two ways, as our Maker, or our Creator, or as our Redeemer, we go into idolatry, and God says He hates it. I'm spending time here because I believe it's important. And He says He will visit it. And the way He will visit it is that He will visit this iniquity for one generation to another generation, to the third and the fourth generation. So here again, we see this clearly. The issue that God judges in the now, that's what we are saying. He judges in the now. And you can see this visitation of iniquity on families and nations. You see the result of this judgment that is going on upon many. We showed you last week that the church in Corinth, because they went before, their attitude towards Holy Communion was wrong. The judgment came because it's already written. For reason here, God has said, I will judge this. He will never back out because He has exalted His word above His name. So when a man says, nah, it doesn't matter, I can commit, I can worship idol, I can go into idolatry, nothing will happen. God is not the one going to judge you. He has already stated it in His word that His judgment will come. And the scripture says, when a man breaks the edge, a serpent will bite him. Serpent meaning judgment. So we see here, meaning that person is exposing himself to be dealt with demons and spirits and powers. So we see here again, we're emphasizing this, that in the now, in time, and here and now, God judges. He judges because His word has stated that He will judge. We are completing this thought that we started last week that we did not finish. So we are finishing it. And hope is clear. Those of you may be hearing me now, and you were not privileged to hear what was spoken last week. I'm sure that what we're saying is God is a judge. He judges in history, He judges in time and now, and He will judge eternally. And we're saying He judges because He has already spoken that He will judge. But that's He's not His nature. It's alien to Him to just judge. The Bible says God is slow, is long-suffering, waiting for us to repent. And you hearing this word again today is another manifestation of God's mercy to you, to hear this word and repent, because that's what He's looking for. It's when we do not repent from our way that judgment comes. And we are saying that when we go on in our sin, that judgment comes upon us, come upon our generations, from third to fourth generation. So judgment begins now. Judgment continues. Now, having finished that, I also want to take us further. Judgment in history. And I would like to read from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Okay? Let me read from verse 14. Maybe it will make more meaning to us, because it's important that we understand this. He says, "For if God spare not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them to chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." So we see here, God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. God judged the angels. The angels who sinned, who left their first estate, like the Bible says, they left their first estate in their rebellion against God under the leadership of Satan or Lucifer. And God judged them. The Bible says, if God spared not the angels, he judged them. You know, we remember we read in Hebrews chapter 12 that God is the judge of all. He judges the past, the present, and the future. Is in his hand to judge. And he judges men and angels. Nobody is above his judgment. Nobody is above his judgment. And so he says, he judged the angels. He judged the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he overthrew them, making them an example. Let him serve an example for those who want to live ungodly. So we see God's judgment in history here. God's judgment in history. And I want to show you a few of these, and then we will trust the Lord to bring understanding and meaning to us. Now, the scripture says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse 49, Ezekiel 16, verse 49, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good." This is God speaking here. God was saying to his people, and he's saying to them, you see the way I judged Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is saying here, Sodom and Gomorrah, the way his people were going, he was saying Sodom and Gomorrah has become like their sister. In other words, they are going the same way. May we not follow ungodly examples. May we not do so. And this is a generation that can also be described as generation that is totally like Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the scripture says, for their pride, what influenced the pride of Sodom? Fullness of bread. They were so blessed. They had enough to eat and the leftover to throw away. They had so much. God has blessed them so much with abundance of bread, abundance of food, self-sufficiency in food and everything, including. They were so blessed. They should have given honor to God and worship him. But what did they do? Then it led them to idleness. They had time to practice evil. And this is always the tendency for man. When God has blessed a man, the tendency is for a man to live ungodly, to live recklessly. If God does not help him, it can happen to a person, to a family. It can happen to his community, to a city, to a nation. And I hope this is not our situation in Nigeria. I hope so, because it says pride as a result of abundance. There was another church, the Church of Laodicea. He said, you think you have everything. You are proud that you have riches and abundance, but you are naked. You are miserable. You know, material wealth can truly blind people spiritually. Material wealth. And that's why when God's people begin to pursue material wealth to the detriment of their spiritual growth and understanding and spiritual wealth, this is what happens. This is what has happened to many nations in our day and generation. Idleness, abundance of bread and idleness. And what happened to them? They then went, they become haughty, and they committed sodomy, abomination. Abomination of homosexuality and evil and wickedness. Men sleeping with men and committing evil and doing evil. Defiantly lived before God, and threw caution to the wind, and lived before God in rebellion, poking their hands into God's nose. And God said he had to judge them. In verse 40, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. And the Bible said Peter said to us, God judged them to serve an example for us. God will always judge evil and wickedness. Let no man deceive you that God will not judge. God will judge. He has set judgment in his word. If he judged the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, why will he not judge the people of today? Why will he not judge if we do the same thing? I want to say, if God judges evil today, homosexuality, evility, and whatever, if God abomination, if God judges it today, it is certain he will judge it tomorrow. It's certain he will judge it in eternity. It sets an example once and for all that he will judge. And so the scripture says, they became very proud and haughty, and they did not, neither did they strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, but did not remember to be merciful, to be gracious to the needy amongst them. Is that not happening again today? Listener, and God says he will judge when he sees such things. We have seen it in history. He judges it and he will judge it again. And let those who are practicing these things today, who are calling it a way of life, it's freedom, it's liberty, gay and homosexuality, nothing that God will not judge. God will judge. God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and he says he will do it again. He set them as an example of his judgment for everyone. So God judges. We are dealing with eternal judgment. We are saying God judges now. He has judged in history and is judging now, and he will judge in eternity. That's why this word is being so that we will not be part of that. Because the scripture says it's been appointed for a man to die once, and after this, judgment. That is eternal judgment. There's a present judgment, there's a past judgment, and there's a future judgment. I pray that we will not be part of that eternal judgment. When we get to that place, we'll see the way the scripture shows it should be. God judges. I like to go to Acts chapter 5. God does not only judge in the world, but he also judges in the church. Indeed, judgment starts in his house. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 5. I want us to see his judgment here also in the church. Acts chapter 5 is a very popular story. It's a very familiar story. It says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it all, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was so, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, and hearing this word, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young man rose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about in the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered and said unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much, because herself and the husband had agreed. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway, and his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. This is another example of judgment in history among Christians in the church. Ananias and Sapphira can be said to be hypocrites. They made a promise, and they decided not to fulfill their promise and lied about it. And the Bible says fear came upon all men. This is judgment again in history. Now, I want to say, today God may not necessarily strike people dead like this in the churches, but he still judges it anyway, spiritually. And like we said, if he judged the Christian for coming to the Holy Communion without discerning the Lord's body, and they were judged, some of them were sickly, and some of them died, and some of them deceased, and so on and so forth, how much more hypocrisy of this nature? Hypocrisy of lying to the Lord and lying against the Holy Ghost. That's why Peter was saying to them, when it was yours, it was in your power to say, well, we sold this for much and we don't want to give it again. So judgment begins in the house of God. God judges now. We see the example again, God judging in the now and God judging in history. That's example again of hypocrisy. and of not being faithful, God's judgment. Now, I also want to read a scripture for us before we go on. We can see so many other scriptures and see how God judges in history, but I just want to read another scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 5, and it says there, verse 24, "For some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid." What is this scripture saying? Well, there's some people who are sinning this thing today, and we don't see them dying the way Ananias and Sapphira die. But that means that God does not judge? No. Like the scripture we have read here, judgment is not fully dispensed all the time. Just like righteousness is not fully rewarded here. Those who live righteously, who live for God, they will be rewarded here on earth, but not fully. They will not fully receive all the reward that God has in store for them. The same thing, that as people who live in sin, disobedience and rebellion, they may witness certain level of judgment here on earth, but then judgment is not also fully dispensed. That's what the scripture is saying. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. So we can see here again the scripture is saying judgment is both now and then. Okay? Like I said, many people are doing a lot of things today and judgment is not coming, and they feel that, oh, because they are not judged, no judgment. That's not true. Can we also go to the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want us to see what it says. Chapter 1. As we conclude again today, I trust that the Lord is blessing us and helping us to return, to repent, so that we will not be judged or will not be condemned with the world. As I share this with you, I'm standing before this word. I'm allowing this word to circumcise my heart as I share with you. And I hope you will allow it to circumcise your heart before the Lord. God, we read today, is no respecter of any person at all. He will judge. He will judge in mercy, but he will judge. He will judge now, so that we can come into repentance. But if we fail to come in repentance, we have to face eternal judgment. May that not be your portion, nor my portion. That's my prayer for myself and for you, my listeners. So I want to read Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Let me read it again. "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Again, God is not in a hurry to judge. And because sometimes we go, God is not in a hurry to judge, we take him for granted and we believe he will not judge. It's not true. It's not true. And sometimes because judgment is not fully dispensed, we think, God won't judge. That's not true. He says, God will judge. Sometimes what we have done is not slack concerning his promise, his waiting that we'll repent. He does not fully dispense judgment on us for what we have done. He's waiting that we'll repent. Even when he allows a measure of it, he's doing so that we can repent and return to him and be forgiven and be healed and be delivered, so that we'll not be judged eternally. Okay? So that's what happened. But men, sometimes we misread it and say, well, God is not judged. You see so many wicked people in the world today. See many people committing evil today. And because of that, many of us who should forge ahead and live for God, we are distracted. Because of that, many have left off their consecration, have left off their following of God. And the tendency to say, like the Old Testament saints, God is blessing the wicked. Why should I live righteously? I hope that you will see from the scripture that God judges. Because he's not judging wicked people fully today, doesn't mean he will not judge them. Judgment will be dispensed fully, totally, completely, except a man repents and turns away from evil and wickedness. Again, it is not the desire of God to judge a man eternally. It is the desire to save man from going to eternal judgment. And that's why he deals with us today. And rejoice when the Lord is dealing with you to bring you to repentance. It is his mercy. It is his goodness to you. And I ask that the mercy of God will visit all of us, that we will receive his mercy. Because mercy rejoices against judgment. He wants to bring us to correction, to repentance, so we can turn. Listener, I ask that the Lord will bless you. I ask that word of the Lord shall be a light unto you, bring you and save you from facing God as an eternal judge. But now you will face him so that you can be saved. Please do not be deceived like others who feel that because judgment is not executed, their heart is set to do evil. Many people are doing wickedness today and they think they can be defiant before God as if he will not judge, but he will judge. The Lord bless you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers: 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again: 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness. Oh.